Well, this morning, the simple title is Calming the Storm. That's where we're at today. We're in Luke chapter 8. We're looking at just four verses, 22 to 25 today. But there is a powerful lesson, I believe, that Jesus wants all of his disciples, not just the ones that were present with him on that day, but all his disciples, including us today, to learn. But I want to start with an illustration this morning because we're going to be talking a little bit about faith. So Dan Beasley, I need you to come here and help me out. Dan is relatively new to our congregation, but you're getting to know me, and you're going to get to know me in a new way today. Welcome. Amen. This is good. And he's been encouraging me. You've sent me a couple of emails, and I just thank you for that, and I appreciate that. But you do trust me.
100%.
How much?
100%.
Okay, 100%. So, you know what? It's Happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you.
But what I wanted to do, I think a couple of guys are helping me out here. You've been talking about the messages and how they've touched your life, and we're just going to move it out here. I want to give him a front row seat today. Is that okay? You want a front row seat?
No.
Right here. Just go ahead. Have a seat.
I'm innocent. Can you get it?
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
All right. There you go.
Hey.
And is that good?
I love it.
Because today I was just going to preach to you. Is that okay?
Go right ahead.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm sorry. Watch your head getting up. I won't do that. But I am going to see how much you trust me, okay? So I'm going to have you step right behind this over here. You ever been hit in the chin?
One time.
Yep. Did it feel good?
No, it did not.
All right. Well, listen, I want to try a little experiment. And I have a bowling ball here. Last time I did an illustration with a bowling ball, it was with a ladder. And I mentioned I'm doing an illustration with a bowling ball. My wife said, not with a ladder, not that. I said, no, it's much more dangerous than that. So anyway.
It's a real bowling ball.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's real.
It's a real bowling ball. I mean, oh, yeah, ain't that great? All right. So what I want to do, though, Dan, you do trust me. And you know I would never do anything to intentionally hurt you. Intentional. I would never do that.
Let's get it over.
Okay. So I want you to just step on back. Step back. Remember your chin? I'm going to put that a little closer.
Yeah,
right about there.
Okay.
Now, I'm just going to drop the ball.
Yeah.
I'm going to let it just swing back.
All right.
All right? Right there. What if we do it a little higher? Okay, about right here, okay?
No,
you think that's
that.
Not that, right at the chin, okay. So anyway, now I don't want you to close your eyes because that would be what we call blind faith.
Okay.
Okay? We don't want blind faith. So you're just going to watch it. The ball is just going to swing that way and it's going to swing back.
You sure I'm far enough back?
Okay, here we go. And I'm going to hold you right here so you can't move.
Okay.
No, I won't do that. You ready?
Yeah.
Watch it. I want you to watch this ball. You ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. Hit!
No.
You trusted me.
I totally trusted you.
He trusted me. Listen, there is a law that God established. We can leave it on there. There's a law that God established that once something starts at one point and it pendulum without any additional force on it, it will never come back to where it started. That's a law that God put into place. And guess what? By the way, the laws of nature obey God. Yeah. And so I knew that. I don't know if you knew that. You didn't know that. But that was a law. And so I was not fearful at all. Now, were you just a little, concerned?
A little bit.
Just a little bit. Now, if I would have used something like this, you would have said, no problem.
Right.
See, that's the little stuff in life. It's the big stuff that concerns us. So anyway, I want you to give Dan a big hand. And that's for your face.
Well, I appreciate it.
So yeah, that was his face if you didn't see it. That's what he looked like. Anyway, thank you guys. Thanks for your help. Let's slide it back just a little bit. Thank you. That's good. I like illustrations, and hopefully this will make some sense later on. Church faith is foundational to our relationship with God. Faith is actually trusting and believing even when your neck or your chin is on the line, right? By the way, we are preparing for VBS. This is the VBS set, and still got some work that's going to be done on it. Pastor Nathan's been working on the boat over here. Believe it or not, it's just styrofoam. But he painted and did all that, made it look great, and we're getting ready for Shipwrecked, and I can't wait for VBS because in 2 weeks I get to shave this beard off. Yeah. So anyway, but it's going to be a great time. Listen, next Sunday, it starts the following Monday. So if you want to be a worker or you want to be a part or bring your kids, come on. And we're going to have a great time. Preschool all the way through fifth grade, we're going to have a great time together. Amen? Because we're going to learn that God is faithful. God is faithful. Church, we've been called to have faith in God, to trust in Him completely, to believe that everything He said is true and will come to pass. How many know that King Jesus is coming back for His church? Amen. Amen. True faith in Christ is more than just believing that what He said is true. It is proving we believe what He said is true by the way we live in the time of testing. See, Dan had the test. I brought a test to him. But do you trust me? And he did. This morning, we're going to look at the story of Jesus calming a storm. And when this happened, they were in a boat, He and His disciples, and they were in danger of sinking. In this story, though, Jesus actually reprimands His disciples for their lack of faith or their mislaid faith. And as we look at the passage this morning, I suspect that probably just like the disciples, we're going to find out that we misplace our faith at times as well. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this event that happens on the Sea of Galilee. Here's a map of the Sea of Galilee if you haven't seen where it is positioned. It's about, something to know is it's 680 feet below sea level. It's quite a bit below sea level, even though it's inland. It's about 13 miles long and about 8 miles wide at its largest place. It's surrounded by large hills and even some mountains. Here's a picture of some of that. You can see the mountains in the background there. And it's known that when the cool air from the mountains comes over and down into the basin where the Sea of Galilee is, and it mixes with that warm air off the water, it can become very turbulent very quickly. In fact, here's a picture of actual waves on the Sea of Galilee, so you can imagine how turbulent it can get. Now, experienced sailors would know better than to head out on the Sea of Galilee when a storm is brewing or coming. And many of the disciples, you need to know, were experienced sailors. And why? Because they were fishermen. They lived on this lake. This is where they made their living, was fishing on this lake. And there's probably a good chance that the boat that they got in probably belonged to one of the disciples. I've always wondered when I read scripture, Jesus got in a boat. I'm like, whose boat is He still in this time? You know, you kind of wonder. But these guys owned their boats and they were still having those. Now, in our passage, though, Jesus said, we're going to the other side. So they set sail with no idea that a fierce storm, though, that was going to come. Here it is, Luke 8, 22 to 25. One day Jesus said to His disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, He, speaking of Jesus, fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke Him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." You can hear the desperation in their voice. He got up, talking of Jesus, and rebuked the wind and the raging water. The storm subsided, and all was calm. Verse 25, "Where is your faith?" He asked His disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Heavenly Father, you are the master of the universe. When you spoke, things just began to exist. You're also the maker of our lives. You are Lord of creation. Lord, teach us today just how great you are. And Lord, let these stories continue to guide and direct our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me look at the story once more. Luke tells us a storm came up quickly while the disciples were on the water. And the storm was so severe, the boat, it says, was being swamped, okay? And they were in great danger. So that tells me this is not good, you know? They're probably facing waves that were really high. They were breaking over the boat. Probably the water began to fill the boat. And in this passage, we kind of get a sense of panic from the disciples. While all of this is happening, I find it interesting that Jesus is sleeping in the boat. Now, just remember, these are experienced fishermen, though, right? The storm probably was worse than anything they'd ever seen, and that's why they became fearful for their lives. However, again, Mark's gospel records that Jesus was sleeping on a cushion in the stern or in the back of the boat. And I'm like, I don't know. I struggle with understanding that. I mean, I've been on boats, and it don't take but this much wave for me to go, whoa. And my stomach goes, whoa. I'm just that way. But Jesus is sleeping, and there is a storm raging. Now, at this point, a panic and fear in the disciples, they finally decide, we're going to wake Jesus up. It's interesting to see how the different gospels record what the disciples said. And Luke's gospel shows one of the disciples crying out, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." Matthew's gospel records a plea for help. "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." And I can probably hear all the disciples calling out, you know, and others just going, "Oh." Mark's gospel kind of get a sense of frustration while Jesus is sleeping because they say, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" So you can see there was some concern in the disciples that things weren't going well. Now, after the disciples woke Jesus up, we're told Jesus just commanded the storm to be quiet and the wind and the waves died down. Jesus simply speaks and the storm stops in its tracks. And not just the wind and the rain stopped, but the waves stopped. And it became calm. The way I picture it kind of happening was there's this raging storm going on, and then in an instant, it just is a serene lake. At that moment, the disciples got this new glimpse of who Jesus was. I mean, they watched him heal people. They watched him do miracles. Now they know he has power to speak to nature, and nature obeys. Now, as the disciples stood there in awe, Jesus reprimands them for their lack of faith or their misplaced faith. As I read the passage, I have to admit, in all honesty, I'm not sure that I would have responded any differently than the disciples did. In fact, when it comes to water, I have a high respect for what water can do. And because of some past experiences in a pool and in a lake with water, I'm just like, you win, you know? And I know that when strong storms even come through our area, and you might even hear of a tornado that might be forming, it can strike fear in us and concern, especially if you're in its path. How many remember just a few years ago we had some tornadoes that hit Dexter? And when they came through, and I'm like, we're not that far. And I'm like, I don't know if these will be big or will bounce, who knows? But you get a little concerned. But what about the storms of our lives, like financial storms? What about family issue storms or work storms? They can cause concern and fretting and panicking just as well. And the reason they do so is because you're not in control. And when those times happen, we're going to get questioned by the Lord too. And the question is, where is your faith? Why did disciples have this lack of faith or misplaced faith? I mean, Jesus was in the boat with them. And he's the one who said, by the way, let's go over to the other side of the lake. I mean, Jesus gave them the end result. And that result was, we're going to the other side, boys. I think the answer to why they became fearful is demonstrated in their actions. Several of the men were these experienced fishermen. They had to be. They've been on the water most of their lives, and some of them could have been confident that whatever happened on the lake, we can handle it. In fact, most of likely when the storm started, I'm sure they just began to make preparations, get the mast down and do whatever we got to do, because they've been in storms before. But when the storm began to get a little tougher and a little more intense, and the ship started to sway, I can imagine the ship's piloting, whoever was piloting, probably was reassuring everyone, I've got everything under control. You ever been there? Because you men know how we have everything under control, right? Eventually, though, the storm gets so bad that everyone on the ship realized it's beyond our control. And that's when they began to panic. So Jesus was right, though, in reprimanding them in their faith, because he has said, we're going to the other side. So now he's asking, where is your faith? Their faith that day, as they started out, was not in God. It was in their own abilities. We know how to pilot the ship. We know how to get it across here. We know the direction. We got it. And they could handle things. But when they realized that the thing they had faith in, which was themselves, we can handle the storm, they soon found out their faith was misplaced. They were powerless and nothing they could do. But isn't it the same with us? We have a tendency to go along in life. Everything's fine throughout most of life. And we feel like we have control of most things, or at least we'll be able to manage what comes our way. And it's not uncommon for us to have faith in things like our own experiences. I've been there, done that, right? Or our own ability to somehow adapt to the situation at hand. But sadly, we put way too much confidence in things like money, our friends, our family, even our church, or a doctor, or maybe even our government, or whatever else you think, maybe they can help me. And I think we misplace our trust many, many times. And we have this faith that in the natural, just the natural realm, the problems we face, they can be solved no matter what they are. And many times you need to understand, most of the time, indeed, things you do are sufficient to face day in and day out problems. But let me ask this question, is that really where our faith should be placed? Because it still amazes me how people panic when they're trying to solve their own issues or control the storms that they're going through in life. Church, when your faith is not placed where it's supposed to be placed, you're trusting in something that's insufficient and inadequate. In fact, you're making that a substitute for God. And that's why Jesus asked that question to the disciples, where is your faith? Is your faith in your own ability? You might be thrown into panic, though, when you face a storm. And the storms that bother us most are the ones where you're not in control, right? Church, just know that Jesus is always in control. And do you know how much he has control of? Everything. And that's why the sea calmed down, because he said, calm down. The disciples then stood in awe of him because he had power to speak to nature, and nature obeyed him. It's like the law here. This law God put into motion and said, when it goes there, it will never return. And guess what? This law, the laws of nature he put here, do not disobey God. They don't. Because they set into motion to do what they were made to do so that we could have some consistency and understanding in our life. There's a simple solution, though, to our problem of misplacing our faith. And this is it. First of all, we need to recognize that we are not in control of what? Any situation. If you'll really get to the place and recognize, I'm not in control of anything. Any situation in our life, and we should be completely dependent upon God to take care of us at all times. Oh, God, I don't know if I need you. I'm just going to the store and I can get back. I need God at all times. Church, true faith not only believes that God is able to take care of us, but true faith also trusts God's complete control over all things. And true faith trusts the way that God takes care of us. You see, when bad things happen in our life, it does not mean that God abandoned us, but rather that in His infinite wisdom, God has chosen to allow certain storms to come into our lives. And those storms might just be there to teach us and to grow us in our faith. Because true faith trusts God even in times of difficulties and trials. It just trusts Him no matter what. We have to believe that even if God allowed our lives to be touched by things like death, how many have walked through the death of someone in your family? And probably an untimely death, if you know what I mean. My brother, at 56 years old, I'm just now 3 years from that. And I'm like, he died at 56. Sweetheart, you got 3 good years with me left. See, that can cause fear. But wait a minute. That's misplaced faith. You see, I'm living as long as God gives me breath because He says He ordained my days. See, that's why I'm living in such a way that my faith is in Him. How about death, disease, poverty, ridicule, any of those things that we get touched by, we begin to go, where are you, God? Wake up. But God is in control. Our problem is we have misplaced faith. He is still working the ultimate good. Paul writes in Romans 8:28, and we know. Everybody say those first three words.
And we know.
Do you really know?
Yes.
And we know that God does what? Causes. That means He's working in it. Causes all things, not some, all things to work together for good. For what? For good. Everybody say for good.
Good.
To those who love God and those who are called according to what? We're going to the other side, boys. There's a purpose. And so Jesus goes to sleep in the boat and stays asleep during a storm. Where is our faith? So we need to ask ourselves, are we really trusting in God? If we really believe God's promises and trust God's character, that it does not change, it will then be reflected in the lifestyle that we live. If we really trust in God's sovereignty, is God sovereign? Then He's sovereign. Then we do not have to panic. We can be people who have a calm confidence in no matter what we face because God is in control of everything. I remember in college, my very first year of college, it was in Lakeland, Florida, and a hurricane was coming through, and it was going to pass right through Lakeland. And I remember the church calling a prayer meeting, and we were going to pray. And they were going to pray the storm would not come through there. And I'll be honest, I just went because they called a prayer meeting. I don't think I had any faith that anything was going to happen. Can I be honest with you? I'm working on my faith. So anyway, I'm in this prayer meeting, and we were there, and the storm was coming upon us. And the storm, the hurricane, split, went around Lakeland, and then reconstitute it on the other side. And we're all like, I am. I'm like, I'm telling you what, you have, God has more power and he'll work through his church if we'll only know that he is who he says he is. And so I just wonder, do we understand who he is? We're going to the other side. So why can we be calm? Let me make this statement. We are not calm because we are confident that God will calm the storm. We are calm because we're confident that God can calm the storm. See, that's where my confidence is. See, if I base everything on what I see, then I don't have faith. Faith is the substance of things not seen, hoped for, believed. That's where we live. And so we live that way. In church, if God chooses not to calm a storm, that means he's using it to accomplish his will. That's what he's doing. He's saying, I need you to walk through this because I need to build your faith. I need you to trust in me. Remember how Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6:10? Your kingdom come. And what's that next phrase? Your will be done. Did you know? So many times we're like, God, if you just will line up with my will. I think it's about his will. And by the way, where is this supposed to happen? You know, your kingdom come, your will be done. Where? I mean, right here? I mean, like, I got to go through stuff here? I mean, I got to learn your will here? Yes, as it is in heaven. Why? Because I'm processing, I'm growing. But church, by the way, I am going to the other side, and the other side is heaven, because listen, this is temporary. I am just a foreigner passing through. That's what the Bible calls us. Because we're not citizens of this world. We're citizens of heaven, and we're going to the other side, and we've got to come to this place, and we're saying, your will be done in my life. Right where I live, I want God's plan, God's purpose, God's will, and to be fulfilled in me as he sees fit. And why would I want that? Because true faith trusts God's will in every circumstance, whether we understand it or not. In fact, there's a great Bible verse that most of you probably know, found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says what? Trust. Just to stop there for a moment. Trust. Dan, thank you for trusting me. He didn't flinch. He just stayed there. Why? Because we're building confidence in one another. And I reassured him I would never do anything to hurt him. Did you know that God said, I'm for you, I'm not against you? So trust in the Lord. Now listen to the rest. With what? All your heart. That means every emotion. Where the heart is the seat of emotions. That's why we got to learn to be calm. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do what? Lean not on what? On your own understanding. So what are we going to do? Acknowledge him in how many ways? All your ways. And he makes your path straight. See, he pulls out the curves as he desires. Church, we've got to get to this place where we know this. Now, did you know advertisers in our world, in our nation, live on your misplaced faith? Their purpose is to make you feel insecure without their product. That's what they do. I mean, I have a Flowbee. Does anybody know what a Flowbee is? I mean, I could not live without a Flowbee. And so I had to go buy one, you know. Now I'm complete because that's what they told me. You have that, you have everything you need. No, but this is what advertisers do. They play on our insecurities and try to pull you and misplace your faith in their product. They explain, if you'll buy what we're selling, you won't have anything to worry about. So the world around us is telling us over and over, if you'll put your faith in X, Y, Z, whatever that is, then you will be secure. And to take a line from a famous insurance company who says, you're in good hands with, I'm sorry, but they're lying. But they make you feel secure. You know, they try to make you feel like you're in good hands. Come on. They're not going to stop the accident from happening. And then they go, I don't even know if I want to pay for that. Come on. And I'm not against Allstate, but you know what I'm talking about. But there's this false security in that they're going to take care of you. The only good hands you're going to be in is the hands of God. That's why we got to put our trust in the Lord. Jesus reminded the disciples that God is bigger than every storm. I can't imagine being there and he just gets up from sleepy, wiping the sleepy out, going, peace be still. And everything goes, whoa, okay. Listen, he just needs to be there. And I know we love it when he speaks those words and he brings a calmness in our situations with a statement or a phrase. But remember, whether he does or he doesn't, he's in the boat with us. And he said, we're going to the other side. Pastor James, worship team, would you join me? The same is true of every storm you might face in life. We may never find ourselves in a boat that's being swamped by water. At least I hope you never are. But we may find ourselves in a hospital waiting room. You may find yourself in a funeral home. You may find yourself at home with a mountain of bills in front of you. There's a lot of life storms that come our way. And in those times, we must remember that God can calm the storms, but if he chooses not to at that moment, then he has a good reason for it. But remember, we're still going to the other side. We've got to trust his judgment more than our own. God has given us commands about how we're to live our lives. Remember the commands of nature? Did you know? Man is trying to figure it out, but I'm telling you what, when they do, they find out that it's constant. I don't even know gravity really works. It's amazing that God's the one who put all this into motion. He's the one who placed it all there, and it does exactly what he commanded it to do. But could we learn to obey his commands in that same way? And just think about it for a moment. If you did, you would be in line with God all the time. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we begin to live in a different way. In those times, we need to remember that we have to trust him more than us. And God gives those commands, but we try to duck out of the way sometimes of stuff. Dan, thank you for not ducking. Thank you for not flinching. But I know there'll be other storms that probably will probably try to come and impact your life. But I want you to know, because you've put your faith in God, you just continue to put your faith in God and say, I'm going to trust him. In many ways, Dan is very new to the faith. And I chose you this morning because I'm like, I want to get to know you more. And I wanted to know he can trust me. We're all concerned about things in life, but we've got to develop a faith in God. We've got to start standing firm in little things. And you might even have to say at times, God, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't get it. But I will trust you anyway. And that's faith. And not misplaced faith. It's faith in God. We sing a song, and these are the lyrics. It says, when the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Anybody ever been in an airplane that flies above the storms? You been there? Because they fly at the 30, 40,000, you know, feet mark, and it's just a different world. Did you know outside our world and our little spats that we live in, I'm sure there's other stuff we don't know about, but in many ways, the storms that we face here are just so minute. They're so small in comparison to who God is. And yet we let them concern us. We've got to get to a place where we don't let storms impact our life the way they used to. We need to soar above with God. And then I like this phrase, Father, Father. You know, I was thinking about Father's Day today, and I know some of you have lost your fathers, and they're in heaven today, but I just want you to know they're having the best Father's Day ever. Ever. Because they're with the real Father. Again, driving here this morning, I was thinking about that, and I'm like, God, the Bible says that when I was in the womb, you formed me, and you made me, and I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And I just kind of looked to heaven, and for a moment I said, Happy Father's Day. And I'm glad you're my Father. Church is a place where we need to understand that He's good and He's going to take care of us. For you are king over the flood. He has control. So what's our response? I will be still and know and know